Welcome to the Book2 podcast. I am Naomi Bennett-Johnson, one of your hosts for this show. And sitting next to me is my colleague, Henry Skews. Say hey, Henry.
Hello, I'm Henry Skews. Me and Naomi, we're both digital campaigns officers for Book2, and we work in the Book2 comms team. So if you're wondering what Book2 is, which you may well be, Book2 is the media entertainment union. We represent technical staff in non-performance roles across the media entertainment industries. And just today we're doing this podcast just to kind of demystify the work of a union and talk to a few people involved with Book2 about the campaigns they're running and what they'd like to change about the industry.
Yeah, and so today we spoke to Jan and Jess. It was a really lovely conversation. Jess and Jan are the organising officials for the LGBT plus committee. And we spoke about a lot of things. So we spoke about the LGBT plus committee, Pride 50. We got a little bit about their personal experiences. So yeah, it was just like a really good conversation.
Ooh, great chat.
It was fun. We had like a trivia game at the end, which was interesting. So yeah, stay tuned if you want to hear that.
This is Jess and Jan speaking to us.
Okay, so can you just tell us about yourselves and how you got involved with Book2 and the LGBT plus committee?
So I'm Jan, I'm an organising official at Book2, and I'm with Jess.
Hi.
And we both look after the Book2 LGBT committee, and I think we just... How did we get involved?
You're going to pass that to me. Thank you very much.
We put our names forward, I think.
We did put our names forward. Partly someone said, I think you might be interested in this. So we said, yeah, that would be great. I didn't introduce myself. I'm Jess. My pronouns are she, her. How did we get involved in the committee? That's how we got involved in the committee. A couple of people said to us, oh, we need some people to do it. And we both went, well, you know what? We're passionate about these things, so we shall take over from it on it. I think that's basically what happened.
Yeah. It's quite interesting because we're both in the London production division, which looks after predominantly freelancers working in film and TV, but it's really great to be in looking after the LGBT plus committee because it's members from across the whole of Book2, so...
Yeah, just people from all divisions, which is really nice to join everybody together.
Yeah. How did you first get involved with Book2?
So I think we've got quite a similar...
We do have quite similar stories.
Origin story.
Book2 origin story. shall I
yeah.
or shall you?
Yeah.
So I was a theatre technician, I was a lighting technician for a lot of years, 12 years, and... In my last couple of years doing that, I became the Book2 rep in my old workplace. And after a little while, I realised I was enjoying doing the Book2 rep stuff more than I was enjoying my actual job. So I applied to work for Book2, and here I am, a year and a half later. That's me.
Yeah, so I'm the same. So I came from theatre. So I was a Book2 member and then a Book2 rep. And... briefly sat on the Book2 LGBT plus committee, so had a bit of experience of marching with Prospect Book2 at Pride and going to the TUC LGBT plus conference and talking about rainbow branded merchandise and that sort of thing. But, yeah, so it's nice to be on the other side and helping members try and get stuff done.
And if you were to explain what the LGBT plus committee is in Book2, somebody who might not be a member or maybe even somebody who is a member, how would you kind of sum it up?
Do you want the very dry official version of that or the very quick?
Let's have both.
Okay, so it functions like most of the committees within the union, so it's they are elected representatives on it. In our particular instance, for the LGBT plus committee, there's representatives. There's two from most divisions. We have three representatives from LPD because the division is bigger, so we've basically weighted it by division. See, it's getting very dry already.
it's sort of just a way of bringing members together. So you might be LGBT plus or an ally and in Betu, and you might want to get involved, and it's sort of bringing similar people or like-minded people together in Betu. So the committee's essentially members who are elected onto the committee, and it works a bit like a branch. If a member's been involved with their branch, it works a bit like a branch. It's you're there to sort of, the committee are there to represent each of their areas. So there's, you know, talk about the issues, represent the issues that are coming in theatre or coming in film and TV or live events, or
and then discuss where, what kind of action to take on that, on those issues, or what we can do as a, what they can do within the union, what the, you know, how those issues might relate to people in other divisions. So for example, there's a lot of freelancers in theatre as well as in LPD and RPD. Sorry, I'm using acronyms, I'm going to stop. There's a lot of people in theatre as well as in London Production Division and in Regional Production Division. So there might be similar things, like for example, we were talking about working abroad. If you're working in a country where it's illegal to be gay or to be in the LGBT community, how do you navigate that? How does your production support that? Or how does the tour you're on support that? That kind of thing. That's one of the things we've been talking about. But that goes across divisions. It's not just... So having everybody come together to talk about those kinds of things is really helpful.
So I think I'll ask now then. So we've heard a lot. I think I was talking to some of the LGBT committee to do a video that we're doing that will be released soon, by the way. and they were saying a lot about the committee, saying it's a really inspiring place, has positive things to say about it, and they said their voices are really listened to in the committee. For you, like, what is it like running the committee?
I mean, that's great that people, I mean, that's the main thing, is that it's like the whole of Prospect and the Betu sector, you know, it's a member-led, member-driven union, so that's the main part of the committee, is listening and trying to support what they want to do in, you know, improving the union and improving their industries and the places that they work.
I really like being able to facilitate these kinds of things, like coming from being an activist and being a queer person in a workplace, in my old workplace, and being like, I want people to listen, that we do have things that, yes, we have the same issues as other people in other workplaces, but there's other stuff that impacts us differently. So it's really nice to be able to facilitate those conversations for people and be part of maybe making some change or making a difference and increasing like representation and visibility, I think, in the union, don't you? I reckon.
Yeah. And they're a good bunch. The committee are, they're very, I mean, they're really like talented and committed in the work that they do in theatre and film, TV and BBC, and you know, so to also give time to helping everyone in the industry and other Betu LGBT plus members try and improve workplaces as well. It's really fantastic of them.
Yeah, they seem like a good bunch. I think it's Ian. He's one of the founders of Pride, he said.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Ian's, I think, has just joined the committee. So, yeah, be looking forward to working with Ian,
So... with the LGBT committee and the LGBT plus network, what are the kind of differences, and how can people maybe get involved in the network as opposed to the committee?
So this is the slightly confusing distinction. We have the LGBT plus committee, and that's 12 elected representatives. I think it's 12. It is 12, right? Yeah. Elected representatives from all the divisions. And then we also have the network, which is basically, well, it sort of primarily functions as a bit of a mailing list and a way of contacting people. So for example, if we're, like we said earlier, we're going to Trans Pride on Saturday, we'll send out an email to all of the people who have signed up to the network. So the network is basically, you can sign up if you're LGBT plus, or if you're an ally and you want to hear about LGBT plus stuff that's happening within the union, whatever that may be, whether that's events or this podcast or you know, whatever's happening. Or if we had, we'd written a document that was relating to LGBT plus people in the workplace, we'd send it out to the network. So the network is, you can, whoever you are, if you're a member, you can sign up to it if you want to hear about those kinds of things. So it's kind of, yeah, at the moment it's kind of a mailing list. We're kind of hoping to maybe develop what we do with it. But at the moment it's a mailing
list.
Maybe
develop into more, you know, because the way to get stuff done, to get stuff changed in work is to get active and to get involved and to join up with others. So I guess the LGBT plus network is a bigger group. You can't have 200 people on sitting on
a committee,
elected onto a committee. So
no.
How do we, you know, how do we bring more voices in so that more people are represented? And I think we've tried to do that through the network.
We've invited network members to come to committee meetings. They're always welcome if they have something that they want to bring to us that's like, this is an important issue in my workplace, can I come and speak to you about it? They're always welcome to do that. The next time we have a meeting, they can come along and say, could you help? Or this, you know, this is a really big thing. There's like 50 of us in my workplace who have all got this problem or whatever. And yeah, then we can sort of put it through the committee and they can see what they can do about it. But I think that's, we want the network members to be active. It's not just a mailing list, but at the moment that's, you know, that's the primary function, to give people information.
And quite useful for us to get information as well. We've done some, you know, you can send out a survey then, and, you know, rather than sending out to everyone in Bektu, you know, people on the network are more likely to be interested and passionate about the stuff that we're surveying them on.
Yes.
And also they'll know, you know, it's...
yeah, you don't have to, you probably, if they're on that network list, you probably don't have to give a huge, huge amount of background. You can probably say, this is what we're talking about. You're not having to, not that it's a problem to explain to people, but you know, you see what I mean. If we're trying to get useful survey data, it's quite good to send it out to the network. We know we've got a captive audience.
Nice. And how do people sign up to the network then?
Hey, email lgbt@bektu.org.uk or myself or Jan, we can sign you up either. I think you can also, just tell membership and they'll...
Yeah, you can just also call up membership and the member contact centre and they'll add you on or send us a message on Twitter.
Oh yeah, you can find us on Twitter. Are we at Bektu LGBT?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what does Pride 50 mean to you personally? I'm going to pick on Jan, okay? Jan is going first.
Pride 50, so the 50th anniversary of the first Pride in the UK. So for me, it's a chance to look back at the progress. And the activists who campaigned and pushed for that progress, and also then a chance to see how much there's left to do. I've got some really boring, well, they're not really boring, but maybe some people find statistics boring, but the stuff, like, I've got it here written down, you know, that nearly two-thirds of LGBT plus people have heard homophobic or biphobic remarks or jokes at work. More than a quarter have had those comments directed at them. You know, so that there's still stuff happening at work on top of all the other stuff that's happening in the UK and around the world. So it's, yeah, it's a chance to maybe to plan of how the next 50 years and to maybe also not to get overwhelmed with like looking at the whole of the last 50 years and the big changes and remembering that those big changes came from little steps and little actions, and it's lots of people working together and doing lots of little things that eventually over time changes makes big changes.
Collective action.
Yeah.
Together. Yeah. Collective action and solidarity.
Is that how you feel
about Pride 50? How do I feel about Pride 50? I think, I agree with you. I think it is a chance to look back and go look at the things that have been achieved, because for sure things have been achieved over the last 50 years when you look back. But we have a ways to go. We're not on an... we don't have equity, do we? We don't have... not our sister union. We have equity, our sister union, obviously. we don't have equity across society, and particularly at the moment, a lot of the... what word shall I use? A lot of the attention is being drawn... a lot of the attention is being put on trans and non-binary people, and for no discernible reason other than... just want to probably hatred just for no particular reason. A lot of the attention is being put on people who are trans and non-binary, and we need to stand together, and we need to have solidarity on those issues, because without, you know, the kinds of things that are being said to trans and non-binary people are the kinds of things that were said to gay people 20, 30 years ago. It's the same. We can see the patterns. It's all, you know, it's all being done in the same way. So yeah, I think you're right. I think it's, we look back and we go, fantastic, look at these things we've got. And then we go, and here's what we've still got to do, and we need to work together to do those things.
And how will you be celebrating Pride this year? And all year round? What personally have you been attending or engaging with, both I think in a personal sense and also in a professional sense as union organisers? Like, how are you engaging with Pride this year in kind of different ways?
Do you want to answer this one first?
Sure. Or do you want both
yeah.
sets of that? So personally, how do I celebrate Pride? Now here I am wearing my... on the video you can see it, but I'm wearing an Amnesty t-shirt that says Love is a Human Right. It's got a big rainbow on the back of it. Visibility is how I celebrate Pride. I mean, I'm not really one for the big commercial prides, but I prefer in smaller, like, community-based things. We are, as organisers, going to Trans Pride this weekend, which I don't know if this is coming out before then, it probably won't, but on the 9th of July we'll be at Trans Pride. I mean, how do you celebrate Pride? I mean, you can't see me because it's an audio medium, but I'm very... my style and my way of dressing and my way of existing in the world is how I show that I'm proud to be queer, and, you know, that's... I want there to be representation. I want people to be able to do that. And sometimes, I will admit, sometimes it is scary walking down the street, you know, looking like I do. I kind of am done with feeling super afraid of it, and I just want to be representative. So that's kind of how I celebrate Pride, I think.
Jess, what about you?
Yeah. Can you imagine if I just said partying?
You can
no,
do.
No,
I'm just not a party queen.
Yeah,
faith. You can be real young.
Yeah. But it's funny, the question, like, separating it into like for work and for myself, because they kind of blend together. Like,
right.
Even being at the because we were at the 50th anniversary march on the Friday, so that's the day before the official London Pride. And that was with, you know, the original members of the Gay Liberation Front and Peter Tatchell and people that had been there in 1972, you know, when it was way more difficult than it is now, and being spat on for marching down the street and stuff. So that was really great. And that was great to actually have people come up and say, wow, it's so good to see a trade union here. And that was really, you know... it felt proud to be part of that moment, but also there representing a trade union, and to be at Trans Pride, you know, because it's actually through the committee and the network and meeting trans members and finding out about their work and what they're facing at work and seeing them get more active, and so it's really exciting to be able to go to Trans Pride for them. And I think also like linking up with other trade union groups as well, and yeah, telling others, oh, we're going to Trans Pride and they're going to come as well, and so it's sort of
have a little union block.
Yeah, union block. But apart from that, I'll probably just watch TV. I like to crack out all the old favourites, so I will probably re-watch Pride some point. And then you've got the perfect example of trade union solidarity.
That makes me cry every time, that film. It doesn't matter how many times I watch it.
Yeah.
I think that lends itself quite nicely to our last question, which is, why are LGBT plus issues a workplace issue for trade unions, in your view? So you mentioned trade union groups. I just wanted to understand kind of what the role is for trade unions.
Should I crack out my statistics again? I had a member the other day who they called me up and they spoke to me about what they were experiencing at work, and it was just the way they talked about it was workplace banter, right? It's just seen as jokes in the workplace, but it was just like the member's gay, and it was just about their sexuality. It was jokes about being gay. It was homophobic bullying. It's bullying and harassment. So it's and that is having such an effect on this person that they are leaving work. They're resigning from the job, and they've been there, you know, months and months. And it's been chipping away at them. So it's stuff like that that could. So you know, everyone spends so much time. We have to go to work, right? And you have to spend so much time at work. You want to be able to have a nice time there, you know, treated fairly, treated with respect, dignity. You don't want to feel like you're the butt end of somebody's joke. So it's even that scene. Sounds like a small thing, but it's such a big thing.
It is a big thing, and it's all about being able to bring your whole self to work. Like if you can't bring your whole self to work, you're not going to be able to focus on your job. You're not going to be able to do things to the standard that you want to. If you're worrying, for example, I know that I've heard this kind of homophobic banter in my workplace. If I slip up and mention the gender of my partner, you know, then that's going to be directed at me as well. You're not going to be focusing on your work. You're going to feel isolated. You're going to feel scared. You know, if you can't openly share your pronouns or your gender identity with people in your workplace, you can't be your full self. You can't be there. And as Jan said, you spend so much time at work, spending, you know, 40 plus hours. Well, for our LPD members, like 50 plus hours a week out of your life, pretending to be somebody you're not. It's absolutely a workplace issue. Like I can't. Before I came out, pretending for most of the week was horrible. You know, just having to go, okay, did I? No, I did. I did say the right gender for my partner. Okay, right. Okay, I've got it. Yeah. And just, it was tiring, and it's not what you should have to think about. You should just be able to be yourself.
And then I guess also that affects like the end product. So for example, LPD and RPD, that affects what's on screen stuff and like the representation, the quality of the content, etc. Even how LGBT plus people are represented on screen and stuff like that. So it's of benefit to everything, isn't it?
It makes no difference really, but you know, everyone, particularly the people that we represent, you know, in film, TV, live events, and whatever they're doing, they're very skilled at what they do. very talented. And so it's, if you've got somebody that's trying to knock you down on the basis of being, you know, LGBT plus, then you're not able to do your best work. And and I guess having a trade union there, or being part of a trade union and getting active in a trade union, is not only that bit of extra protection and support, and it's also teaming up with others, other LGBT plus people, to not only share those experiences and but to try and turn that around.
It's a sense of connection with, because if you're a freelancer, a lot of our members are freelancers, as I'm sure you know if you're listening to this and you're a member, but a lot of our members are freelancers, and that means that they work on their own a lot of the time, or they move between jobs. They're not necessarily working with the same people all the time. They're not working in a workplace where you've always got, you know, oh, I know this person's an ally, so I can speak to them if something bad happens. You don't necessarily know that when you're moving from job to job. It's, you know, and having that, you know, having the union and having the network and being having people that you can talk to, I think is really important, particularly for freelancers.
Okay. We've got a bit of trivia coming up, don't we?
We actually do. Okay.
Yes.
What? We have some trivia.
Oh, no.
This time.
Yes, so we have two sections to this quiz. The first bit is about Pride.
Mm-hmm.
And the second bit, we've actually called it, you should know this because you work in LPD. Okay, so
oh,
it's
no.
Very...
Yeah, pressure's on.
This is going to be fun, isn't it?
So I think, should I start off?
Yeah, I think you should, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start off. Okay. I actually really love this question. So this is about Pride. So who threw the shot glass that was heard around the world?
Well, this, I want to say Marsha P. Johnson.
There we go.
That is correct.
Hooray!
Well done.
Are we competing? Are Jess and I competing?
I mean, we could do this like this, because Jan looked very confused there.
I'm winning,
yes. Yeah, I'd say you two compete.
Okay, then. And also, if you are listening, please feel free to play along at home whilst you listen. See if you do better than Jan and Jess.
They will. There'll be somebody who does better than
us. I've got one. I'm not, no guarantee I'm going to get any more.
Okay, so can you tell me the significance of that shot glass then, and when it was thrown?
I'm going to say 1969.
June 28th, 1969.
Okay.
Is that correct?
You know what? This is so bad. We don't have the exact date, but we have the year.
I think that's right.
But it's definitely 1969. Definitely. Okay.
It was at the Stonewall Inn in New York. It was during a police raid on the Stonewall Inn, which was an LGBT plus... before we had the acronym bar, and it was always being raided by the police, and I think eventually people said enough is enough, and the it was obviously led by Marsha P. Johnson, but most of the action was, I believe, people of colour and trans people, and I think one drag king. I might have got that wrong. This is my remembrance of it, but maybe I've got it wrong.
Yeah. So yeah, you guys got that right.
Set a high bar. So
do you know what I mean? And you're teaching us as well.
Yeah,
which I love this moment. Okay. So which activist is often credited as the mother of Pride?
The mother of Pride. The mother of Pride. Can you imagine if I said something like RuPaul?
I don't think that's the answer yet.
The mother of Pride that's not in...
That's not Marsha P. Johnson.
Not Martha P.
Yeah. You know what? This is something new that I learned, because I didn't know about this woman before I did the research.
Riviera. Riviera. Oh, no.
No, can't remember. See, now we've fallen down.
So it's actually Brenda Howard.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
So if you're at home and you guys obviously need to do some research,
I've done pretty well.
I know what I'm doing.
I'm so sorry.
We're actually Brenda Howard. And yeah, so second part of the quiz.
Yes. So yes, this is more related to your role as organisers. Film and TV. So
we've got to be careful what we say.
Yeah, this is the professional side. So what show features the longest running LGBTQ character in TV history?
Oh.
Is it Hollyoaks?
Or is it Coronation Street?
Oh, it could be Coronation Street. That's been going longer. That's got more chance.
Unfortunately, it's Grey's Anatomy.
It's Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, but those were good guesses, though. Right.
My backup was going to be Casualty.
There was one. There was a queer character in ER, but that was ages and ages ago. So, right.
My second question for you. Who was the first black openly gay actor to win an Emmy?
Oh.
To win an Emmy.
Oh no.
Have you got any clues?
Okay. Can we have a clue?
So, do you guys watch Pose?
Yes.
So, he's the person who DJs the ball.
Yeah, can't remember his
name. Oh, God.
So embarrassing.
incredible Met Gala outfit.
Yes.
The gold
outfit.
Yeah.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Oh my God, what's his name? I'm terrible with actor names, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Do you want me to give it to you?
No. What does his surname begin with?
P.
Yeah.
Poor.
Gone blank, but
it's gone out of my brain.
I'm gonna have to give it to you. It's Billy Porter.
Billy Porter! Of course, it's Billy Porter.
I felt like you were just about to say it now as well.
I was, I'm very sorry, Billy Porter, for forgetting your name.
The final question before we wrap up is ex Bec2 official David Donovan is portrayed by what actor in the film Pride?
Do you know this one?
I can't remember actor names.
Paddy Considine.
Yeah.
Considine.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
We
have scored.
That's my every time somebody says, have you seen Pride? Or, you should watch Pride. I go, well, you know Paddy Considine.
Yeah.
He used to be a Bec2 official.
Who? Paddy Considine? No, not Paddy Considine. The guy he plays.
Lovely. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for taking part in our quiz.
Yeah,
you're so welcome. We are sorry for not knowing all the answers.
No, you did very well.
You did, and it was a really insightful. Just time chatting. It was good to chat to you guys and stuff. But is there anything else that you wanted to say?
Just that I think people should, if you're a Bec2 member already, if you're not a member, you should be a member, but if you are a Bec2 member and you want to pitch in as an ally or as an LGBT plus member, then just come and drop us an email or send us a message on Twitter and come along to a meeting.
The Twitter is at Bec2LGBT.
What was the email again?
The email is
lgbt@bec2.org.uk.
And we are hoping to be at Black Pride, which is on the 14th of August, I believe. We're hoping to be there, so come along and say hi if you're there. And we will be at Trans Pride, but I suspect that this will go out after we've been to Trans Pride.
Yes,
potentially.
We're not that fast of editing.
That's fair. That is fair.
Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.